Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Leon Kurtz, the CEO of Jubilee Metals. Welcome back, Leon. How's things?
Oh, it's all good. Thank you, Phil. Thanks for the opportunity again.
Absolutely. So you just provided an update on progress at your copper operations in Zambia, where you aim to achieve an initial production goal of 25,000 tons of copper annually. This strategy involves expanding both the copper resource base and processing capacity. Key developments include the Roan concentrator and Sable refinery expansions, with a new copper processing module and concentrate line increasing capacity significantly. Additionally, partnerships like the Waste Rock Project with International Resource Holdings Limited and the acquisition options for the Munkoyo project highlight Jubilee's commitment to unlocking overlooked copper resources. Early testing at Munkoyo has revealed high copper grades, with a significant copper anomaly identified, promising to supply the Sable refinery. You have expressed satisfaction with the progress, including the discovery at Munkoyo and the advancement of the Waste Rock project, emphasizing Jubilee's strategy to transform abandoned projects into a viable operation through processing excellence. Sounds like real progress there, Leon.
Oh, thank you, Phil. It actually is. It just is such a beautiful example of what we do. On the one side, Project Munkoyo, classic example of an abandoned, beautiful reef because it's regarded as too complex to process. That's exactly what Jubilee does and unlocks. We've taken 80,000 tons of this opportunity, processed it through, made it into copper cathode, showed how well we can perform off that reef. And then from the early flyover era mags of this potential, just showing the sheer magnitude of what is on offer. We're pursuing that project in twofold. On the one hand, we're immediately expanding. It's a free dig operation, it's not mining. We're immediately expanding the access to the reef while simultaneously doing what typical resource definition companies will do to just demonstrate the size of these opportunities, where we are flying it, drilling it, to give it a true resource statement. And you are right, early grades are particularly encouraging. And the same breath with OB1, it is an extremely large waste rock resource on surface. We've had it independently verified of its size. Our processing test work is completed. And as expected, shows that we can upgrade that material nearly 8.5 times, perfectly suited for direct refining thereafter. A real, real find for our group. And that excites the IRH as well with their acquisition of Mopani, because this project has the capacity to not only fill us, but to be a significant supplier of copper to their Mopani acquisition as well. And of course, now that you have this resource or this access to copper, you automatically then is afforded the opportunity to continuously expand your existing processing capacity. And that's what we speak to. Roan had its delays. We've overcome that with the logistical struggles we've had, which many, many project companies are suffering from. We've overcome that. We are now about to go into the full deployment of that project at Roan, which steps up our copper production. At the same time, we're expanding Sable because we are able to bring a Munkoyo. We're able to bring all this additional material in. So a runway to achieving that 25,000 tons of copper, which, as you say, is our initial target, is so clear for the company in the coming months.
Yeah. I mean, it must be frustrating for you because here you are, you know, the share price or the cap of the company has been reduced significantly, but you've made these major announcements for these processing, for these, you know, overlooked copper resources with the likes of IRH, who are no small company, you know, that you look at them and what they invested into with the, you know, Mopani over in Zambia there. So just how frustrating is it for you when you feel like you're making massive progress, but actually the company seems to be declining in terms of valuations?
Yeah, of course, it's extremely frustrating when you know what value is being released and the investment we're making to release that value. And then when you look at the market and try to understand what could drive that perception, yes, of course, there's the frustration to have copper being delivered more and faster. But the lessons we've learned is so valuable in this jurisdiction. We're now rolling out the copper. It's so clear, our copper deployment strategy for Jubilee. And at the same time, if you look at South Africa is a stable entity. It's about to become one of, if not the world's largest producer of chrome concentrate. The chrome prices are so supportive. At the moment, if you look at the stability of the chrome price, the upward trend of chrome prices, it is such a good area to be focused on. And then, of course, our byproduct out of our operations, which is dwarfed by our chrome expansion, is our platinum group metals. And yes, platinum group metals are suffering in the industry. Platinum have come off sharply in prices, but Jubilee is so well positioned, being a predominantly chrome producer and a PGM byproduct coming out of the company. We should not be classed as a PGM producer because we're by far more dominant in the chrome operational space.
So Leon, here we are in sunny Cape Town. We're actually both in the same hotel as we've just met. This is obviously a great operational update, but I want to press you on the point. Obviously, PGMs have gone through the floor. How is that going to fundamentally affect Jubilee over the next sort of 12 months, you know, assuming that they stay there, which they might not, but assuming that.
Thanks for that question. You know, we, as Jubilee, we foresaw that the softness of the PGM price, not maybe at the rate at which it has pulled back, but we saw PGM prices coming under pressure more than 12 months ago. And Jubilee had really started its strategy of migrating onto chrome, onto our own chrome, as we expand our operations. You know, we've gone from 400,000 tons of chrome to 800 to 1.2 million, now to 1.6 million tons of chrome per annum we produce, taking that exposure into chrome. We've announced to the market 6-7 months ago that we have halted the capitalization of expansion into PGMs. And instead, we have an extremely efficient PGM operations, which has the fortunate position to receive as a byproduct from our chrome operations their feed, ensuring that we are in that lowest cost operating quartile for PGM. So even if things stay as they are for a prolonged period, our South African operations are well against that PGM impact because of our exposure of chrome and our expansion into that chrome operations.
Okay, so you don't really see it hitting the bottom line very much. I mean, I think people need to adjust their mindset in terms of themselves, really. But yes, first and foremost, maybe for the next 12 to 18 months, you're going to generate a lot of your money from chrome. And then after that, you could be, you know, in essence, a very, very serious copper producer in terms of the numbers. I mean, I don't think it would be out of the question to say that you could produce 100,000 tons of copper in 2025. I mean, maybe overstep the mark, but I don't think so. I think that's probably quite likely.
What we have in copper is, with our resources, you know, we've shown that you can take these abandoned small-scale mining into formal operations. And there are many of these examples in Zambia. Munkoyo is just such an example to show how do you formalize these operations. Our overburden dump is just an example of many more opportunities of how to do it. So yes, we can expand from there into a far greater copper company in Zambia. And the hit to the bottom line on PGMs, that's come through our numbers. It doesn't make South Africa not profitable, but it positions South Africa to benefit from any upward recovery in PGMs because our profitability is secured by our chrome operation. So as a company, we're so well poised to benefit from any recovery of PGMs, but we're not reliant on that recovery in the PGMs. While in Zambia, at the right time, with copper prices seeing greater support, and of course, everyone expects that support of copper to continue with the constraint on the supply of copper with such strong fundamentals on the demand, it's the right time to be expanding into that copper in areas where our copper production costs are so competitive because we are at surface or near surface. Even Munkoyo, we speak of a resource, but we speak of free digging resource. This is not blasting and hoisting of material out of Munkoyo. And there are tens of Munkoyos in the area of where we've identified this project in Zambia.
So as you move forward with IRA, all the stuff that you're doing in terms of the processing facilities and the ability to process this copper, I just want to look ahead. Do you see another IRH on the horizon? Maybe not in Zambia, but you know, somewhere else in the world?
Oh, there's always that opportunity. And what we do, how we are able to take these resources that are unloved or forgotten into valuable, profitable projects, it's very transferable into other materials, other jurisdictions. If you go into other jurisdictions to have the benefit of a company of the sheer size of the IRH as a division within the larger HC, it gives you strength and protection and comfort to take on other jurisdictions without taking that capital risk to Jubilee's balance sheet. So yes, there is that potential. People are recognizing what we are doing here and down in the Indaba. People are speaking about what we've achieved, how we've achieved it, how we are able to become such a significant chrome producer on reef people thought were not viable. How we able to have taken the Munkoyo from forgotten to something so valuable, and how we able to have such a clear path to our initial target of 25,000 tons of copper on materials people thought could not or would not be processed. So there's a lot of recognition coming through of what is being achieved at the moment.
Yeah, interestingly enough, when I was on one of the stands today in Indaba, one of the mine investment guys from IRH was looking around at all the other copper projects in the different regions. So I had a quick chat with him. I didn't mention Jubilee, but I had a chat with him. He says, yes, we're looking for copper, full stop. Doesn't matter where it is, we're looking for copper. So
it's a component to their strategy, yes.
Yeah, so it's quite obvious that Jubilee is going to become a chrome copper producer. And probably from what I see, you're probably then going to become a copper chrome producer, because copper will account for a much greater part of your revenues and profit as you move forward.
Absolutely.
Just a question regarding the technical aspect of it, Leon, in the RNS, where you mentioned that the manufacturing testing of the new 50,000 tons per month processing module is obviously been tested, and it's, I believe, being prepared for transit to Rowan. Obviously, that's a great way of expanding. But is that, because we saw the circuits when we were there, but is that going to replace the current one that goes up to, I think it's up to 25,000, or will it kind of like sit in situ alongside it where you create a kind of a new circuit there?
Yes, this is in addition what is there. So what we're doing at Rowan, and of course the circuit is going to be replicated in a number of areas in Zambia, is it takes Rowan into an entity that is able to simultaneously now process different feed sources. That's the flexibility Rowan gets. Because of the location of these overburden type feed stocks surrounding Rowan, as this large one we've now secured. So it gives Rowan that ability to do both simultaneously rather than the one or the other coming through Rowan. So it's in addition to what is there.
Yeah. And is that something that is, you know, you talk about the Jubilee Way, is that something that you kind of IP and you've got, because obviously there's a lot of companies that don't have the ability to do this sort of process. Yes. That's something that is very much unique to Jubilee.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's learned from our chrome division, where we have 8 modules expanded to 10 modules. And we fully integrate with our manufacturing line to make sure that these things are delivered very rapidly and rolled out. The actual techniques are perfected in our development center and then rolled into the manufacturing line. And that is why there's two things that we benefit from. One, of course, is the IP, the knowledge of the how. But the second component we benefit from is the speed. At what once defined, how quickly it can be rolled. And it's going to be demonstrated to people on this OB transaction with the IRH. Now that the processing test work has been completed, confirming that the modules are able to take this copper into a very high-grade product, it's the speed from there to now deliver the modules to site, because how integrated we are with the manufacturing.
Yeah, and I was going to say, surely by doing it in-house for yourself without a JV partner, this is just going to expedite the process for things like the Mopani and the ones where you've got JVs that you're going to be building and providing yourselves.
It's why the JV partners are structured the way they are, where Jubilee is appointed to implement and execute, because they recognize that ability that we have uniquely in our group.
Yeah, it's rare to be in complete control, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in control, and it's also learning from, you know, some of the lessons we had to learn during Rowan, where we were so exposed to the logistical nightmare the world's facing at the moment. And now to be able to, even in the copper, chrome was always, but now in copper, to integrate it so tightly means that we now overcome that exposure going forward with these modules that are being designed. And of course, being modular means that your risk is addressed, it's diverse, you're not reliant on a single infrastructure point. You have 8 units rather than one large unit that either runs or doesn't run. It really is a rapid manner of deploying. Because if you take a Munkoyo, and if it goes to plan and it produces from this initial pit 25,000 tons or 11,000, 12,000 tons of copper per annum, it takes 4 Munkoyos and you're roughly at 50,000 tons. So you don't just need one big mine. You have 4 Munkoyos and you have a big operation. And that's what the industry is taking note of the way we're implementing that.
And I think also the modular element of it and the circuit element, it means that if you one circuit needs maintenance, you can shut one down for any maintenance without affecting the total output. Or, I mean, obviously the total output will go down, but ultimately you can still maintain production, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, there's a number of components that you benefit from: repeatability, training of your people, optimization of the operations, because they're such replicas of one another. And that's why Chrome has gone through this exceptional growth curve. Every module that comes down is slightly better optimized in the people, slightly more trained your people. The readiness of the module is so much better by your third and fourth implementation. Your people are fully trained on the existing modules for the operation of the second one. So your project timeline of reaching full capacity is shortened dramatically. So there are so many benefits that kick out. You have commonality of parts, commonality of maintenance staff. You can share management structures across them because they're so similarly operated. All those benefits come through in your cost structures.
Yeah, thanks for your time, Leon. We really do look forward to coming to Zambia in April, May
yes.
time. Seeing Rowan and seeing the plants, as you say, you're going to expand the processing as well. Proper. And yeah, I know we'd probably just be seeing big piles of bucket effectively or all, but ultimately we know there's copper, there's maybe little copper wires running through them or if only it was that easy. So yeah, but Zambia seems to be, the talk about Zambia and copper at the Indaba has been prolific, like many people in Indaba, copper, Zambia. So they really are pushing it themselves as well as Zambia copper. So yeah, have you had any meetings with the Zambia government?
Oh yes, of course. You know, we've had several discussions with them because the projects we do are quite fundamentally linked to their strategy. You know, Munkoyo is such a beautiful example of taking an informally operated mine that's failed and turning it into a formal operating mine with sustainable work opportunities, significant impact on the community surrounding it. So it truly is a project that the Zambian government was looking for, to see an example of such a small scale turning into a formal mine, because they know how many such opportunities exist in Zambia. So it's something that they are not just thankful for, but they also see the opportunity of what that can do for the region. So yes, we've had several debates with them.
Yeah. And how many jobs do you think that you know, Jubilee are going to be creating as we now and say end of 2025, you know, in terms of these processing jobs?
It's thousands of jobs. You know, we already as Jubilee have reached 1,000 jobs, and we will be adding thousands of jobs into Zambia.
Yeah, which will really help the economy, obviously, in Zambia as well. Never mind the fact that you're going to be paying them a small amount in royalty or whatever it is you have to pay. So, it really is. I think people have to understand that Zambia is very, very focused on 3 million tons of contained copper a year. How quickly they get there, I don't know. The copper's there.
Yes.
And, you know, it really will change the economy for the good of Zambia. And that will then help everything.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. They're very focused.
Okay. On that note, we'll see Leon Kurtzer, CEO of Jubilee Metals. Thanks very much for your time.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.